This conference is being recorded.
So, welcome to the Heart Starts Here Week call. A gift from Fiera. What is Fiera? My name is Sheva, another weird. And I am the CEO of this company called Fiera. So, Fiera is a company and it's also a feeling. It's actually a word invented based on a mishmash of an Italian word, fiero, which is that great feeling you get when you've been trying and trying and trying and trying to get something and you can't do it and you can't do it and yes, you finally do it and your arms flip over your head and a yes flies out of your mouth. That's the pride of fiero. And fiera is that joy, that exuberant vital joy that we experience when we're living from the heart. That also has inherent in it peace with anything that arises and an inner quality of knowing that comes sometimes from a place we can't seem to articulate or describe or ascribe to anything in particular. We just know without knowing how we know. Well, it turns out that that inner knowing is not just woo-woo, but it can be explained. It can be tracked by science to the heart, to an intelligence in the heart that's accessible to us. Like same way an antenna helps us clear static and hear better on a radio. Feelings like joy, appreciation, gratitude, peace, love, compassion, feelings that that we might call heartfelt feelings actually operate like antenna to clear static to the heart signal and the intelligence that's there, allowing us access to this deeper knowing and allowing us also like a GPS to maneuver through life with less stress and greater ease. And so Fiera, in a way, is both the antidote to as well as the opposite of, if you will, for lack of language to describe this, the opposite of stress. And so one of the things that we do here at Fiera as our mission is to bring more Fiera to you, who are listening to this call of tonight or as a recording downloaded sometime in the future from where I'm speaking, to bring more Fiera to you, to organizations, even to nations. We've had the privilege of training governmental organizations and whole institutions in step-by-step, scientifically proven tools to be able not just to experience Fiera and the health benefits and the intellectual performance and knowing benefits that it brings, but you know, by accident or serendipity, but on purpose, on a regular basis, to spontaneously be able at will to drop into that place, and the implications of that are vast for our own individual lives. And also what I'm keyed into, because I just finished teaching today one of our most advanced classes called Heart Blueprints, also with wide-ranging implications for our evolution as a human species and the way that we live and interact on this planet as a whole. So that sounds pretty bold. Normally I don't get into the wider picture of what we're up to so much on these little Heart Start calls, which are for you personally, you individually. As one of our clients called them on the first night we began them, it felt like a little oasis of positivity, and that's exactly their intent, a place where you can come either live with questions and stories of your own or as a recording, but in all cases to rest in the peace, the joy, the fulfillment, the vitality, the insight of your own heart. And so let's start in the heart, since it's a Heart Start call, and we have people calling in from different countries and different time zones and different activities from the day, and we can all come together right here, right now, just taking a moment to focus attention on the area around the heart. If it helps, you can put your hand there. Feel your own heartbeat. My heart is moved in the moment because I got to hear some very dear old, not old in years, but old, knowing them a long time, friends that I haven't talked to in a while on this call. And just letting the breath come in evenly. If it helps you to count, you can, but you don't have to do that. You could breathe in for 5 or 6 counts while maintaining the focus of attention on your heart. And breathe out for 6 counts. Again, maintaining the focus of attention on your heart. Each of these calls is directed towards a specific topic, some practical area of our lives where the heart can help. In tonight's call, we're going to talk about the heart of money and our relationship to that, to money and finances and resources. It's amazing. All I have to do is say the word money, and even in my own body, I can feel my shoulders go. So I remember when I was in the 5th grade and we were reading short stories. It was my English literature class in 5th grade, and we had to read short stories, and I was reading short stories by Ray Bradbury. And for whatever reason, it just stood out to me that there was one story in particular that took place in this house where this family lived. And this image has stayed with me for all of however many years, that must be almost 30 years ago. The walls were breathing and pulsing the family's worry about money. And I think as a 5th grader, where my father had put us into debt on credit cards for the 3rd time, and my parents almost divorced over it, there's something about that image that really resonated with me, that even the walls were shaking with the family's worry about money. I think I felt that way. And now through the research of heart math, which is what all of our tools that we teach here at FIRA to access that feeling of FIRA and its power to affect change and benefit in our world and in our own lives, are based on this research from HeartMath. I could explain why walls even could shake with our concern and our worry about money. So we'll talk about that tonight. These HeartStart calls are a chance for you to get a little introduction to the science of HeartMath, which is we're licensed by HeartMath to deliver their science, their tools, through a methodology they've created, even a biofeedback technology where this can be measured and you can see it in real time, which is very empowering, and we'll talk about how that can apply to finances as well. And so it's a chance for you to get a little appetizer into this new science of the heart that HeartMath has tapped into and the tools that we teach here, and how that applies to this specific topic tonight. And to hear some stories about that and share your questions, we'll open up the call towards the end for you to ask questions, for you to share your own stories, get feedback, anything that you want to contribute. And heart math science and the work of Sierra and teaching it has been going on now for over 17 years. So we're not going to cover everything there is to cover in an hour, but enough to give you a lovely platter of hors d'oeuvres. Mm-hmm. And if you decide you want to come eat more of this feast, I'll also let you know how to get more. One thing I'll just say in the beginning of the call, if you find you have background noise and you're listening live on the call, you can mute your phone by pressing *6. That will mute out any background noise. And then if you have a question or a story that you want to bring in later, you can unmute yourself just by pressing *6 again. And that will bring you back online so everyone can hear you. And you are listening to this call as a recording and you have questions or stories, we always love getting those, then you can email those to me. Or if you are listening live and don't want your question recorded, you can email it to me, Sheva, S like Sam, H, E like elephant, V like victory, A, at Fiera, which is F like fantastic, YERA.com, Sheva@Fiera.com. Or you can also call us directly here at 310-581-1507. So, Fiera being the opposite of stress, and Brooke, it would be interesting to get your vantage point on this. We have a guest on the call tonight who may contribute, who came into my own life through the use of my own tools relative to my money stress, and I'll share that story a little bit tonight. And Brooke has some expertise in the realm of finances, and I think that money, as I work with my clients and also in my own life, is by far one of the greatest sources of stress and therefore the greatest threats, if you will, to people's fear that I've ever seen. Brooke, I don't know if you want to say anything about that right now. When you were here the other night, you mentioned that you just see when people stress about money how it affects their health and their family life and their relationships and their ability to perform at work, and really that can be insidious in the way it bleeds into every area and every dimension of your world.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, my practice, I really feel like is helping people heal their relationship with money and make sure that they have what they need and that they're taken care of, and it's key for everybody. You know, I love the idea of, since I haven't been on your call before, Sheva, I love the idea of just being here as a participant to listen, and then maybe we can go into some questions or whatever sort of comes up. But I'm thrilled to be here, and any way that I can participate in helping anybody with their money, that's one of my life projects. So I love being able to solve that because it's an absolute epidemic, and I believe that it's fundamental for health on such a cellular level, making sure that you understand what to do with it and how to take care of it, and especially women. So, and I'm not sure, do you have women and men on this call? I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, all of the above.
And last time I checked, all of them have hearts.
Of course. Yeah. But I definitely notice for everybody, male or female, it's you know, we have these prevalent roles in society, and I notice it shows up with men very differently than it shows up with women. So, you know, we can talk about that later, but I'm just glad to be here. So,
yeah, well, I'm delighted you could join us and that you inspired this call. It's the one that I've had on my back burner, I've wanted to do for a while, and probably one that we will do again because I think there's so much richness here for people.
Definitely.
So much challenge here for people that there's a lot to be addressed and that will offer a lot of dimension to this. But tonight could be our first overview maybe in a series ultimately on the heart of money and how the heart, when brought to money, can completely change not only our relationship to money, but our relationship to resources and physicality in this whole world and scarcity and abundance and what is all this stuff that people talk about, you know. And so tonight I'm going to make it very practical in terms of our relationship to the fact that money is essentially binary code at this point in somebody's computer somewhere. Like, how many people do you know that actually carry around hard, cold cash anymore? Most people don't even, right? It's little plastic cards. So the first thing I want to offer from a sense of neutrality that I had to find in myself in the tool we offer in the Beginner Heart Math course called Neutral, which is just like, okay, wait a second. Let's look at this from a different perspective and a new vantage point. Does money really mean what we make it mean? And I'm going to use myself, I think, tonight as an example, just vulnerably, you know, because I can be so available to life and filled with so much care and so present and so appreciative of the abundance and the joy of my life, and get a bank statement that shows that I lost $1,000 that month, and suddenly I feel like a failure. My brain is in the toilet. I'm literally like crying and don't want to talk to anyone, and I feel ashamed. And it's like, wait a second. A piece of paper did that to me. A printout from someone's computer somewhere that's recording digits. Nothing else in my life has changed. Nothing at all. Well, a couple months ago that actually happened, and I was like, whoa. It had been so long since I'd had an emotional reaction to something like that because of my practice and use of these heart math tools and the heart math science. And in essence, if I could get straight to the root, straight to the core of heart math science, it's this. Heart math discovered that emotions like fear, feelings that we described earlier, love, care, compassion, ease, emotions that make us feel fueled and good and centered and clear, do that because they create an ordered pattern in the heart. That ordered pattern in the heart, which if you looked at the rhythm of it on a monitor, which we can do, by the way, we've got a heart rhythm monitor that HeartMath created called the M Wave, so you can actually see your heart's wave in real time, will take on this perfect sine wave, which is to say rolling hills and valleys, perfectly symmetrical and even. And that perfect sine wave, just for fun, for those of you that have a piece of paper and a pen, I want you to draw that nice even sine wave, a little hill and then a little valley, a little hill and then a little valley, all the way across your paper. Okay? When we experience emotions that typically get called negative, although I want to be clear here, I'm not calling them negative emotions like bad. This is not a moral issue. Definitely not. It has nothing to do with that. What I'm going to call them are emotions that were designed for our survival and an immediate threat. Right? It's brilliant to be able to get mad and show your teeth and growl if a pterodactyl is about to eat your babies. Very useful. Now, I haven't encountered any pterodactyls and I don't have any babies. So when I show my teeth and growl because tech support in India can't tell me where my deposit went in the middle of the night and they want me to call my local ATM outlet the next day and I want to know where my $8,000 is and I'm growling, it's not helping me out too much there. It just makes the guys in India think I'm a B-I-T-C-H. And like they can't wait to get me off the phone. It doesn't really make them want to help me more. So, nor, by the way, does it help me understand what they're saying. Because these emotions like anger, rage, frustration, fear, anxiety, panic, that were so intelligently designed and constellated when we moved from being reptiles in our creature evolution into adding mammals to the realm of our species on this planet. Mammals, the mammalian brain, is where emotions first showed up. And those early emotions, anger, territoriality, jealousy, rage, fear, anxiety, they all came online in this middle brain as survival intelligence. So as a reptile, I would either approach you or avoid you. I would eat you or run away because you were going to eat me. Or I would approach you to procreate with you, and you would approach me to procreate with me. So it was very easy. It was binary code, two-dimensional. Approach, avoid, approach, avoid. But then this wonderful adaptation occurred called emotion, where it was like, oh, you ate my cousin Harry yesterday, and I feel upset about that. And now I'm afraid of you. So the next time I see you, that fear kicks in, and I'm going to run away. And that's very effective. It keeps me alive longer, and my species then continues on better. Brilliant, isn't that? I think that's pretty brilliant. Beautiful. We could appreciate these, what we now call negative emotions, as really intelligent and elegant survival adaptations. Wonderful for allowing the resource, the raw material of our lives to continue more abundantly. However, there's a little glitch. Now, when we react to a bank statement that tells us we're in the red for a month, or let me personalize this. When I react to a bank statement that tells me I'm in the red for a month, the fear, the self-judgment and self-anger towards myself, the frustration, the despair at being a failure, all that stuff causes 1,400 things to happen in my body that are useful if my life is immediately threatened, but meaningless and, in fact, detrimental to help me problem solve my company's financial status. So in that moment, the emotions that are designed primarily for survival, like fear, anger, aggression, anxiety, kick in, and those cause, unlike the Sierra emotions, if you will, a chaotic rhythm in the heart. And we go into greater depth in the beginner workshop about how and why that is and what that does. Remember, over 1,400 repercussions of this shift. Again, very intelligent, not bad, just antiquated, old, like an old software program. So that if you pulled out an ancient calculator, one of the first, you know, handheld calculators before we had laptops, and tried to run internet on that calculator, it wouldn't be able to do it. It doesn't have the programming. And that's our bodies. Our bodies were designed for the challenges and threats of the jungle and the prairie. They haven't had the linear time to catch up to the technological revolution in a physiological evolution. So our bodies and our emotions are reacting to psychological threats as if they're life-threatening. And that's creating collective disease and a collective epidemic. And nowhere do I see this as more prevalent than with money. Because most of the people I have ever met in my life who are concerned about money, and this is most of the people I've ever met in my life, have never gone a day hungry, have never lived without their basic needs met. Money, in fact, in their lives is primarily a psychological threat. Living in a culture, if you live in North America and you're listening to this call, that in many ways is one of the most abundant material cultures in history. So how can that be that all of us are looking around us at the most abundant time in history, and yet many of us are looking at it through a glass wall, feeling like we're tapping on it, we can't get to it. We can't receive it, we can't take it in. Well, it's as literal as our own cellular reaction, or as my own cellular reaction when I get that bank statement. Because as soon as the disorder kicks into my heart, and now what I'd like you to do is underneath this nice, even, what we would call coherent sine wave that you've drawn on your piece of paper, I'd like you to draw halfway across your paper, not all the way, just halfway, a chaotic up and down, herky-jerky line, up and down, high, low, high, low, halfway across your paper. That's what you're looking at, is a picture of your heart rhythms, one in a state of peace or care, genuine care, the other in a state of self-judgment or judgment towards others, in a state of anger, rage, fear, insecurity. Now, first of all, somebody unmute and just tell me which one of those lines took more ink? The top line or the bottom line?
The bottom one.
Right, so the chaotic, herky-jerky line took more ink, yeah?
Yeah.
So if we're looking at our resources and wanting more abundance, we have to first look at how we're using what we have. And you can see that using the heart in this reactive survival obsession uses up our life force really fast. If the ink in your pen or the lead in your pencil was your life force, you can see that the even sine curve goes further with much less. And we can track this not just to our financial resources, which is true, by the way, because of the way that the heart interacts with the brain. When the heart is in this coherent pattern, it's literally, as we said, it removes static to the intelligence there reaching the brain. And then the brain is able to see more opportunities, more options. It literally experiences the abundance that's right in front of it. They can see this on an MRI. So the idea of an open mind is not just a metaphor. That actually when you go into survival mode, the herky-jerky line that's using up resources and not getting anywhere, right, only makes it half as far, and it probably uses double, if not more, the amount of resources to go half as far. It's less efficient. But not only that, it creates static to the intelligence of the heart reaching the brain and closes down the higher perceptual centers. So literally, if everybody on the call right now would just make pretend you're in kindergarten and make a fake little telescope with your hand. Close it up and close one eye and just look through your handmade telescope. What do you see? You're going to see one tiny little peephole of your room wherever you are. That's what happens to the brain when we have that stress reaction. So the heart goes into a herky-jerky pattern, and one of these 1,400 things that happens in the body is the higher perceptual centers of the brain literally seize up and close down. And you can watch it on magnetic resonance imaging in a hospital. Boom. Now, again, this is part of our intelligence. But what it means is suddenly we don't even see the abundance that's all around us. We can't receive it. We can't take it in. So this survival intelligence cuts us off from the very thing that we're chasing. Now, why would it be intelligent to close off your brain? What in the world could be good about that? Well, I'll tell you, if you have a tiger chasing you, you don't exactly want your higher brain centers functional to go, well, let's see. I wonder what the most scenic way away from this tiger would be and where I could stop and have a gourmet meal and where there's a Barnes & Noble where I could stop in and pick up the Eat, Pray, Love book that I've wanted to read for a long time. You don't want to be having any of those thoughts. As a matter of fact, you just don't want to be having any thoughts and you don't want to take in any perceptions or any luxuries that aren't going to help you hightail it out of there. So that works very well when a tiger's chasing you, but how does that work out when I get my bank statement? And boom, my brain closes down, and suddenly all I see are those two numbers at the bottom of that page, and my whole life becomes that. Well, suddenly all the abundance that I'm actually surrounded by is cut off to me in my perception, in my experience, and again, in the beginner webinar, we get into in depth, even at the cellular level, hormonally, the changes that occur don't allow me to receive and replenish the very things that make my hair abundant and shiny, or my sex drive, or my this, or my that. It affects everything about our experience of life, and yet it's all happening inside us. Nothing really changed in my life. My bank statement was the same yesterday. I just didn't know about it yet. It's all going on inside my own consciousness, impacting my body, my physiology, and how I respond to life, which then further, of course, impacts the resources that I draw in. Well, when I saw myself react to my bank statement that way a couple months ago, and I thought, all right, this is it. This is one of the last holdouts where I see myself kicking in and giving my power, if you will, away to this old survival physiology that has no bearing on what's actually happening. And I had a bottom line relationship to that with myself. I said, I'm not going to give my presence, my care, my fiera. I was online last night looking to see if I could create t-shirts that say, nothing can F with my fiera. Right? I'm not going to give away my consciousness, my presence, my love to binary code in a computer somewhere. It's so silly. And yet, this is what we're saying by, if you are experiencing that, you're not alone. And I've been practicing with the power of the heart to bring download and upgrade to this physiological software we walk around with for 12 years. So if you're listening to this call and money still gets you, well, welcome to the club of 6 billion that are a part of that. Although I will say this, I mentioned this earlier, the people I see who worry about money have never gone a day hungry in their lives. And I work with children who have starved in their lives. And I rarely see these kids concerned about money because they've tasted what it is to really have survival threats in a true sense. And so it's, I learn so much from their joyful spirits in the face of their opportunities and difficulties. You know, this is through the Fiera Foundation. For those who are listening to this call and don't know me, we have a nonprofit organization working with street children and abandoned kids in Nicaragua. Over 600,000 children living on Nicaragua's streets, right, from a long history of war, second poorest country in the Western Hemisphere next to Haiti. And when you're with these kids who bring so much vitality and vibrancy and joy, to watch that their attitude to life doesn't ride up and down with the resources that come or go. They have been absolutely teachers for me, which is hilarious, given that I'm operating there under the guise of educating them. That's something else. That's a whole other heart start call. In any case, I bottom-lined this one for myself. I said, that's it. I'm not going to give my power away to this anymore. I refuse. And so I sat down with my heart, and I actually used some tools that we teach in the advanced course. There are tools specific for how the heart interfaces with the quantum field. And this is how it cycled back around to me, my memory of this short story that Ray Reverie wrote, that where the walls themselves were reverberating with this fear, right? Well, you can see if your heart rhythm is doing this jagged thing, and my parents would have these knockdown, drag-out, screaming fights about money, it was like that. It was like this chaotic earthquake in the air, and I could imagine the walls shaking. Not that they literally were, but just that chaotic energy being surrounded by that, because the heart's rhythm, the heart's field radiates 8 feet beyond an average person. If you go to the hospital and get an EKG done, the med techs will step out of the room. If any of you are listening have done that, the reason they step out of the room is because they don't want their heart rhythm to interfere with the read, because we're in each other's heart fields, the electrical field of the heart, all the time. So this was part of my inner commitment, because I knew that the resources, see, I've always had a desire, especially for these kids in Nicaragua, to leave a legacy of resource to them. And to see that I was, you know, in the red, I just felt so far from that goal. And then I had to stop myself and see the real resource I'm leaving them is the love and the coherent field of energy my heart has sent their way. And for those interested, we just recorded a call last week on the power of the heart. difference in the world. And you could listen, you can go to the HeartStart call page, which is sierra.com/heartstart.html, and hear the proof of that. They experience the story that plays that out, that long before I had any money to send them. The love in the heart, that coherent, even sine curve itself, was enough to have impact. That's where power really comes from, not money. And I can say that to all of you with certainty because I've worked with some of the wealthiest people on our planet who are still stressed about money in different ways maybe than those of us who wish we had more. But the power to have impact comes from the heart, not financial resources. So as I made that commitment to myself and bottom-lined it, I used this tool that we teach in the advanced course called hologramming, which is how the heart interacts with the quantum field, so that in a sense, all of the kind of literature and movies and stuff that are out right now about you create your own reality and you can attract what you want in life, there's a science to that that brings a greater sobriety and service to it in the heart. And we teach in the advanced course how to co-create with what's happening in the world through the heart, your heart field and the field of creation itself. And the tool is called hologramming. So I sat down to even remember to use the tool. I had to first get to neutral with my self-judgment, my self-hatred about losing a couple grand or whatever it was. And got really clear about what really mattered to me there, what it was that was really important about money, which was not having money. It's great to have money. But I've already seen, like, I'm making more now than was my goal 7 years ago when I first moved into the place I am. And at the time I thought, oh, if only I could make $5,000 a month. Gosh, then my life would be so easy. Well, now I've doubled and tripled that, and it doesn't matter. It's not the amount. It's psychologically and emotionally the relationship we make to what this stuff called money is. That's where our real power lies. And so I got very clear about what really matters to me about money. Now, I'm happy to share that, but tonight is for you. This Heart Start call is for you. So what I'd like to do right now is help you get clear about what really matters to you about money. Because I guarantee you that you can have that. It's your birthright to have what really matters to you. And the place you'll find it is in the heart. And it's not, I don't say that in a trite way. I know what it is, and I work with many people who don't have the resources to meet their basic needs. So there are survival threats, but it's so good to tell the truth. Is your survival really being threatened right now? And even if it were, does it help you to experience chaos internally in order to respond to that? If it doesn't, then these tools that we're about to experience right now can help. They can bring you greater ease, peace, and joy as you move into creating and receiving more fully the abundance that's already all around you. And so what I want you to do, just for fun, is imagine that you have as much money as you could possibly want. And more. As much money as you could possibly want, and more. And as you're imagining that, I just want to offer one more reminder from the neutrality of maybe money doesn't mean everything we thought it meant. Also, you need to know that, and I think we've expressed this, but I just want to point it out, you're not alone if you worry about money. Most people do, even if they have it abundantly. Because there's a whole planet that's shifting its orientation from physicality or 3D to quality. And so it's important to remove any self-judgment or any sense of isolation or separateness if you have money challenges. Our whole society is challenged by this. You know, in its inception, money, and Lynn Twist, who I wrote about, by the way, in the invitation to this, I really recommend her work. She's phenomenal, and she's written a book called The Soul of Money. But she talks about how money got started, which was really a matter of convenience. It was supposed to make things easier, because originally people bartered, right? If you were a cobbler and you made shoes, and I was a farmer and I had milk cows, and I would bring you milk and you would give me shoes. But what happened if, you know, I needed shoes but you didn't need milk, but you happened to need clothes and I was friends with the tailor and the tailor needed milk, so I could give the tailor milk and then the tailor could give you clothes and you could give me shoes. But that started to get really complicated as soon as it was two or three or four times removed. So we created currency. Money that could serve for that exchange instead. And then slowly over time, money became a thing unto itself. Rather than a vehicle for us to use, money has been using us. So here's a fun way to come back to the heart and take your power back from this. I want you to imagine that you have all the money that you need and more, all the money that you want. What would that give you? And be free with this, you know. There's no, if you've got some spiritual rightness about it, throw it out the window. If it's going to give you a beautiful home with hardwood floors and a great leather couch, great, write it down. I don't care. No one's going to see this but you. What would all that give you? What would you be able to experience in life with all the money in the world that you wanted? And just keep playing this game. Keep dropping underneath what you discover. So if it will give you a beautiful home with an ocean view and hardwood floors, what would that give you? And what would that give you? Just keep asking yourself that question like an irritating five-year-old. And what would that give you? But make it fun for yourself. What would that give you? What is it you really want? And keep, we call this the trapdoor game. It's one of the tools, actually, that we work with as a prep for the tools of creation and manifestation from the heart. The advanced course. And keep going until you get to something that just seems like, okay, there's nowhere else to go. It would give me that, and that would give me that. It's the same thing. And chances are, if you're like most of the people that I work with, and if you're anything like me, which I'm guessing you are, because it's hard to call in to this conference call if you don't have a heart pumping blood into your fingers. If you're like me at all, what you'll land on is something that we would call a heart feeling, a quality of life that you're looking to experience. That somewhere along the way, your conditioning or your mind or advertising has called you to associate with external resources or money. So for me, what I landed on when I was using this tool and I was devastated by my bank statement, which makes me laugh right now. I'll get to where I got to with that. I discovered that what I really wanted was the power to follow the guidance of my heart no matter what and never be obstructed by feeling a limit or a lack of resources. And I had to see in that moment that what was obstructing my ability to follow my heart, and the other piece of that was to feel my own value and contribution to the world. That what was obstructing that was, had absolutely nothing at all to do with my bank statement. That I couldn't follow the guidance of my heart if my emotions were creating static to its signal. It was me doing it. Now that's just a little taste of my process, but whatever it was for you. So for me it was freedom to follow my heart, power to do that, peace, contribution, and value. Whatever you got to at the bottom of your own trapdoor game, I want you to take a moment now and just again, like we did when we started the call, shift your attention to the area around your heart. And I want you to allow the breath to come in through the area around the heart and out through the area around the heart and in through the area around the heart and out through the heart. I know you're not a fish with gills. It's actually just maintaining the focus of your attention on the heart as you allow the breath to come through there. And then activate whatever feeling that is, if it's freedom that you wanted, or peace of mind. Just in this moment, invite freedom, invite peace of mind as a feeling in you to come in through your heart and out through your heart. You might notice fear or story about your financial situation kicks in again. That's fine. It's not a problem. It's just resources. That right there is resource. That's hormones and electrical synapses and raw material that belongs to you, that you get to choose where to invest. When you see it come up, it's not something to reject or judge, or be frightened of. It's raw material. There's your resource. Grab onto that resource and reinvest it in the heart. Invite it into the oasis of your heart. And breathe in through the heart and out through the heart. And invite your heart to reinvest it as whatever it was you thought money would give you. And I just want you to observe what's happening inside yourself as you do that. What happens to your body? Does it feel more like the top line or the bottom line when you do that? Does it feel more or less clarity? I think I said clarity right as my obnoxious other line rang in, making the word unclear. So do you feel more mental clarity or less? In other words, from this place, which in our language here, for those who take classes, we would call being in the heart, which we know if you get the M wave out and see your heart rhythm, it creates more coherence there. Being in the heart facilitates you to better be able to respond to your financial issues in a genuine way, not to avoid them and escape, which is really, you know, I've certainly avoided and escaped my financial issues at times. This whole year, I didn't even look at my total statements. What kind of an escape is that, right? Well, escaping from our finances, that was my father's way. Just run credit cards and, I'll look at it later, never. When we escape, it's really the fight or flight survival mechanism, escaping psychologically. But it's still part of this old survival. It just doesn't work. The heart can allow you to look straight, square in the face of a money situation, bring it through the eye of the needle of the heart and give you the power to change your relationship to it, which has to change it. We know that from a quantum perspective. Or even just from regular math, right? This is the math of heart math. One side of the equation, i.e. your perception of what's happening and your response to it changes, then the events around it have to change on the other side of the equation. And that, by the way, is exactly what happened to me with this whole bank statement issue. So I got clear about what I really wanted from that. I brought that through the heart. I applied some of the tools, which I can't teach on the Heart Start call because you need a bigger vocabulary to get there. But I applied those tools to create the draw and realize what I really want is I want to leave behind a legacy of contribution. And I want to be able in any moment to be able to know that resources are here for me to follow whatever my heart authorizes as the greatest service to the whole in any given moment. And I put that in the heart with all my might, that money not be a concern, that pulls my attention from the love and care that I have to put out to the world in every new now. And in arrived Brooke the next day, who was the first person that actually laid out for me on my kitchen table how our financial system works. And laid out for me how I could practically manifest a life from a financial perspective that would empower all of those, what you might call emotional or energetic attitudes and experiences to occur in a grounded, practical, reasonable way. I used to say when I was doing acupuncture and working with clients who were concerned that their tumors couldn't go away and were too solid or fixed, and people feel that way about their money situation, even though money is a currency that's much more fluid, you would think, than bones and flesh. But people get very solid about their money situation and feel like it's very immutable. I used to say to people that energy always follows, or I'm sorry, matter always follows energy. And if it's a race or a competition, energy always conquers matter. Think about what you would think is more stable, stronger, more solid, rock or water. And yet look at the Grand Canyon and tell me who won there. Your energy flow, when you bring it to the heart, has the power to manifest and attract dramatic change, abundance, and benefit to yourself and to others. And the world of money as binary code in one's computer is an illusion that is laughable in the face of who you really are. So I have blabbed quite a lot tonight, and before we close the call, I want to open up the lines for Brooke, if there's anything you want to share, and also for anyone, if you have questions or if you have, you know, your own stories of empowerment or disempowerment with money that you'd like to bring. Just remember to press *6 to unmute yourself before you start talking so we can hear you.
Well, this is Brooke. While anybody else wants to unmute themselves and contribute something, I think, so much, so beautiful, everything that you were talking about, Shevin, it resonates with me on the core, such a core level. I think that, there's a couple things that sort of popped up. One of them is that you're absolutely so right with power coming from your heart. And in the work that I do, I've also recognized that you're so much freer to create when you confront what you need to confront about your money and get it taken care of and just make sure that it's handled. And I like people to be able to turn it into a game, because it really is just energy. And it doesn't have to be this big, crazy, heavy thing. It can just be fun and light and interesting and exciting. And, you know, once people get into the mindset of seeing how fun it is to create their financial future, it really becomes a game. And I love helping people walk through that barrier, because for so many people it is such a big thing. I mean, it's the number one reason for divorce. It's a huge contributor to violence in the world, and it just doesn't have to be that way. And it doesn't have to be nearly as big as we all make it. And I was one of those people who made it really, really big. And I had a big awakening when my dad crossed on, because, you know, I really believe that he died because of money. And he worked every single day of his life until the day he died, and nobody sat down and showed him and my mom what to do. And I had a very rude awakening, realized that if I didn't shift this immediately, I was going to end up exactly like my parents, and I didn't see that for myself. And it's just a privilege to hear, you know, how you're looking at things through the heart, and this is my first time here listening to what you do, and it's so powerful. So I just want to thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely love what you're saying, because, you know, one of the things that I've found as people learn tools to get to the heart is that there's a very quiet power there to just go ahead and address and confront and deal with whatever your stressors are.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you do that, it's sort of like having a nightmare where you turn around in the nightmare and you go, oh, I'm dreaming.
Yeah.
This nightmare now.
Right.
It's really, you know, and so things loom larger and are greater stress when we're avoiding them. And it's one of the things I love about what you do, because you demystify money and you make it very practical and simple. And it touches me a lot to hear the story about your dad, because it occurs to me in this moment that my father died because of money stress as well.
Mm.
He had a sudden heart attack. And this is the point. It's like that chaotic line that you guys drew on your paper that ends abruptly.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than a metaphor. Heart disease is the number one killer in every developed nation in the world now.
Yeah.
And that's what my father died of, sudden cardiac death. And in his death, in the middle of it, or actually, you know, when he died, he was in the middle of a huge court battle with the IRS, because he worked in both the U.S. and Canada and was being taxed heavily in both countries.
Right.
And wow. Neither country was kind of taking into account the taxation of the other country. So he was in the midst of dealing with all of that, as well as another debt. And I know he felt totally overwhelmed with it, and I absolutely am clear that that contributed to his heart attack.
Of course it did, yeah.
So our ability to take the significance out of money and not give it meaning it doesn't have in terms of our self-worth. See, this is one of the things that I did a lot. I was like, oh, well, if my company is in the black, then I'm worthy and good and doing well. And if it's in the red, then I'm bad and I've failed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it has really nothing at all to do with that, actually. And not only did I draw Brooke in, by using the tools when I went into my money crisis in my panic and applied the heart. But I also, and this is one of the things that happens when you get to the heart and why it demystifies our stresses and nightmares, whether it's around money or health or relationships or anything in your life, because when you gain access to that higher brain function around your situations, you actually do see them from a different perspective. And one of the first things I realize is, oh, this is kind of great. Some of my friends purposefully in the last month of their, you know, businesses, they try to lose money so they don't have to pay taxes, because they don't believe in George Bush's war. They don't want 50% of their tax money going to kill people in other countries. And I thought, wow, you know, that's not really that values aligned with me to be contributing to the war. So I don't have to pay taxes this year. At least business taxes, right? You can get perception shifts on things that take the significance out. I had to remove that story that somehow I was a bad person because I hadn't broken even this year, to be able to see from the heart's point of view where, you know, what it really meant, if it meant anything at all. So, Brooke, it would be great, I think, and really welcome this, if you would like to give your contact information in case people would like the education that you gave me, which, by the way, she did not charge me for. You don't charge people to take them through this, do you?
No, no, I don't. No, everything is free and to empower people and teach, and then they make their decisions from there. Yeah, I'll give you my cell phone number, and just so you know, I am leaving the country actually the day after tomorrow, so the best time to reach me will probably be after January 1st. But let me give you my cell phone number. It's 818-640-5515. 818-640-5515, and it's Brooke, and the last name is March, just like the month.
And it just occurs to me, because I got so much value just from receiving the education that you laid out for me, that one of the things we might offer as a CRS service, since Brooke will be away for a couple of weeks, is, and I don't know if you'd be comfortable with this, Brooke, I should talk to you first, but if enough of you are interested, perhaps we could set it up to do a call specifically with Brooke where she could outline this, you know, just demystify the money matrix a little bit from a practical point of view. That's not my expertise. Brooke is the one licensed in all those credentials. My expertise is more the heart, so I can speak to it from that point of view, but maybe we can set up a call, Brooke.
Yeah,
or
absolutely.
A webinar where you could kind of lay out from a practical point of view just how the money system works.
For sure. Yeah, I'd love to do that.
Just understanding that and knowing that. So if you, you know, alleviates a lot of stress and creates a lot of aha and Sierra into itself.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And you got anybody who's on the call is certainly welcome to call anytime. And yeah, we'll sit down and I'd love to do a conference call with everything.
Yeah, so if you're interested in that and you're listening tonight or you're listening to the recording, shoot me an email to Sheva@Sierra.com and let me know that you're interested, and then I'll be sure to, I'll set something up if there's enough interest, and I'll email you the details.
Thank you.
So,
perfect.
Anybody else have any questions or any stories they want to share before we close up the call for tonight?
I would just like to say thank you very much. It was very, very helpful.
Oh, good. Who's that? Is that Jennifer?
Yeah, that is.
Sounded like you. Good. I'm glad it was helpful.
Yeah.
I know this has been a last holdout for me.
Yeah. It's
easy to...
It's a continuing one. And the stories, breaking some of those stories and myths is something that I'm going to be looking at a lot. And I'm living with my mom right now, and I'm seeing it very clearly, some of those fight or flight reactions, and we both are really wanting to shift that whole energy around it, you know, the abundance, having the havingness and the ability to have it, and then not being afraid of looking at what it is we actually have.
Mm-hmm. Well, Los Angeles is a particularly interesting place to choose that, right, because there's a lot of opulence here, and it's easy to compare.
Yes.
Which is all part of the illusion that keeps us from the heart's perspective.
Yes.
And as soon as we go into that stress, then even our very selves don't receive what we already truly do have.
Mm.
Identification that happens there. So lots of compassion, and if it helps you and your mom, we have a beginner heart math workshop in person scheduled in LA the third weekend in January.
Okay.
And there's also a beginner webinar, which, by the way, the first night is free, starting on January 8th. Or if you're listening to this as a recording, we run those once a month, and you can sign up for those free webinars. So you don't have to worry about money for that. On the homepage of the Sierra.com website, there's a place at the top where you can just sign up for the free beginner webinar. and learn more about the science and a couple of practical tools that you can use to apply to money or anything else in your life to have more fear and less stress.
Yes.
There it is, the yes to life. That's Fiera.
Yes.
Beautiful. Thanks for calling in tonight, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Anybody else, or is that it for tonight?
Well, Sheva?
Yes.
This is Suda, and I just want to thank you so much for this call and for your calls every week, which I haven't been on. I've had other things that I've been doing right then, but I do read your emails that you send out on Monday mornings, and this just was especially potent and so chock full of information and assistance and reminders, and as was this phone call, you continue to be an inspiration and and a gift to the world.
Mm, thank you so much, Suda, and of course, we understand that. Like Suda, a lot of you have other things scheduled on Monday nights from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time. So I'll just remind all of you that these calls are recorded and can be downloaded for free at any time by going to fiera.com/heartstart.html. So I know people that just download them straight into their iPods and go hiking with them or clean house to them. So you can listen to them at your leisure anytime, Sita.
Oh, yes. Well, one other gift that I got both from the email and from the call tonight is just really to see what my priorities are. And just being really clear and easy. So thank you.
Well, that's it, isn't it? You know, we can want ease and think that money will bring us that and get frustrated and consternated when we don't have enough money to have ease. And if ease is our priority, we could just go straight for that.
Ease and kind of benefit, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, beautiful. Thank you so much, Suda. It's a thrill to have such a wonderful friend show up on the call. Well, thank you all so much for joining us tonight. Again, if you have questions, you can email them to me, Sheva, S-H-E-V, like Victory, A, at fiera.com, or if you'd like to have Brooke demystify the money game for you, then email me that too, and we'll set something up to make that happen. Or you can call me at 310-581-1507. And both the M-Wave technology as well as, you know, our free beginner webinars and access, by the way, to all these free calls through our mailing list can all be signed up for on the homepage of our website, fiera.com. So lots of abundance and care and ease going out to all of you. We like to finish these calls usually by paying them forward, so to speak, pretty appropriate on money night. So just again to drop the attention to the area around the heart. And the surest way to have more abundance in life is to give away what you've received. So obviously that's what I wanted to do with Brooke. I wanted to give her to as many people as I could. So just shifting your attention to the area around the heart and breathing some sense of gratitude for anything that you've received tonight that was beneficial to you, and radiating that from your heart to someone else's heart, someone you know and love, or some place in the world maybe where there are people struggling that you don't even know, that you want to extend this aha or this peace or this greater ease or relief to, and just let your heart deliver that to them with care. Well, thank you all so much for joining us, and I look forward to talking with those who join us next week. It's Christmas Eve, And there will be a Heart Start call on Christmas Eve from 5 to 6, a special one. So I welcome you to be there if you'd like. And good night, everyone.
Night.
Good night.
Special thanks to Brooke also, of course, for instigating this one. Thank you, Brooke.
Thank you, Sheva. It's Kat. Thank you so much.
Good to have you, Kat.
Oh, it's great.
Good night, everyone.